Pesach is like typical Chavetz Chaim, just pouring out his heart for Jews and in his elegant yet simple fashion. But tonight we're going to see some really beautiful teachings on tshuva from the Chavetz Chaim. Probably one of the first Chumash Svarim that I really put a dent in was the Sefer Chavetz Chaim al Torah, which is a very kedai Sefer to own if you don't own it. So I was going through it. Unfortunately, I don't remember the Divrei Torah from year to year, but I do try to take notes on the side of the pages. So I was flipping through, trying to see which pieces jumped out at me as pieces that are related to tshuva and the feelings we have this time of the year. And I tried to put them in some type of order that will actually create a little bit of mahalich from the Chavetz Chaim about how we're supposed to feel and the thoughts of tshuva that we have and the ability to do tshuva even in the face of great opposition. So let's start on page one. We'll start on the left-hand side. This comes from Parshas Bechukos. I apologize, the top of the page got a little cut off. If you looked on the left-hand side, three paragraphs from the bottom, Zachrinu L'chaim. Now, just so we understand what we're looking at, this is, again, the Chavetz Chaim al Torah, which was not written by the Chavetz Chaim. It's a compilation of his teachings. The bottom half of the page is, you see, it's called the Maaseh L'melech, which are just further. The top part of the page is arranged according to the parashios, and the bottom are stories and further Divrei Torah connected to the themes that the Chavetz Chaim was speaking about on that parsha. Again, teachings from the Chavetz Chaim, but not specifically said at the exact same time as what the Divrei Torah at the top of the page. But we have here a very beautiful insight into tshuva, as we'll see in a second in Parshas Bechukosai. But I want to just start on this tiny little paragraph: Zachrinu L'chaim, L'mancha Elokim Chaim. We're going to say that a lot. Zachrinu l'chaim, l'mancha elokim chaim. We ask Hashem to give us life. That's the main thing that we want. We want parnasa, we want a shidduch, we want this, we want that. There's a lot of things on our checklist, and we have to make sure we dive in for big picture things like Mashiach and the bigger picture of what a Jew should want in this world. But a lot of what we say is Zachrinu l'chaim, I need another year of life. It's such a funny request because here I am confessing, by the way, Hashem, I did everything wrong. But give me another chance. Why would I give you another chance? What's in it for me? Hashem says. So the Chavetz Chaim says, I didn't get a chance to look it up. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that almost expresses the exact same idea. Where we say, Hashem, I forget the exact lashon in Tehillim, but in English, the lashon is basically, Hashem, heal us because we did so many averos. Heal you because you did so many averos? That's the reason I should give you more life? So the Chavetz Chaim, I saw this again, I don't remember what sefer I saw it in, but the Chavetz Chaim has the same yesod here. Zachrinu l'chaim l'mancha elokim chaim. Anu mevak shemiyis Hashem yisbarach, sheyitein lanu chaim. Do us a favor, Hashem, give us more life. V'chizeh yeh l'tovas Hashem yisbarach, and it'll be good for you. Yeah, why will that be good for me? What's our claim here? What are we petitioning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What do we have to offer? We say to Hashem, think about it like this, Hashem, we owe you so much. So if you kill us off now, you're basically giving up on the possibility of collecting something from us. That's a major loss. If you give us life, okay, you don't have to give us such major loans this year, but you know, based on everything, just give me life. You're not going to give me anything. You don't want to give me more money, that's fine. You don't want to give me more X, Y, or Z, that's fine. But at least let me live, and then maybe I can get my act together and scrap together a couple of bucks, right, in the form of mitzvos and ma'asen tovim, to pay you back for something. Hashem is beneficial for you to not allow us to go bankrupt. If you let us go bankrupt, if you let us go under, then you're going under with us, so to speak. The poor person who's defaulted on his loan says to his, right, noshav means his creditors, he says to his creditors, listen, if you don't help me, if you don't try to bail me out on some level, right, so then your loss is going to be that much greater. So, listen, I know you don't trust me fully, but do it for yourself. Hashem, give us life so at least you'll give yourself a chance. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his generosity gives us many chances. He gives us another chance and another chance and another chance. So what do we have to offer him? We want to do tshuva. What does it mean to really do tshuva? So Chavetz Chaim writes in the right-hand column, Parshas Bechukosah. The pasuk says, V'zvadu es avonam, v'es avon avosam, v'malam asher malubi. We confess to the sins, to the crimes, to the iniquity, right, that we were ma'al in Hashem, mi'ila. Mi'ila means the misuse of something. Very strange pasuk if you stop and think about it. Timuchu Kosai, Parshav Tochacha. And yet the pasuk says, you're going to confess to your sins, And by the way, because you walked with me in a casual way, I'm going to walk with you in a casual way. Hashem, I thought we just did tshuva. According to the Rambam, the Rambam's definition of tshuva is deeply linked to vidui. That seems to be the most authentic expression of tshuva. So what's the pshat in this pasuk? V'izvadu asavona. We did vidui for our chatan, for our averos, because we were moel and Hashem, we rebelled against Hashem. And then Hashem says, but because you walk with me in a casual way, I'll walk with you in a casual way. I thought we're good. I thought we cleaned the slate. Says the Chafetz Chaim, l'chor ha-koshem o'om. Halo ha-koshem o'om v'izvadu asavona. We confess to our sins. V'im kein mekevan she'izvadu halo ala kadosh baruch hu limho. So why does Hashem say, you confess, but I'm still not satisfied? Seemingly we've done what we're supposed to do. Why does Hashem treat us in a casual way? Why does He not pay attention to us? Why does He not trust us? Why does He not welcome us? Says the Chafetz Chaim, we learn, what is real tshuva? What is real tshuva? And one of the things that we're clapping al chayt for, Shavnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, what's the next one? Dibarnu Dofi. Dibarnu Dofi means that we said all the right things, but we weren't really saying the right things. So says the Chafetz Chaim, what this pasuk is teaching us is that it's possible for a Jew to be in a state of vidui, to be saying, Hashem, I'm really sorry, and we're all going to be in vidui. It's mostly Shabbos, Slichos, we're going to start, unless we're Svartim already, you know, in high gear, right? But for us B'nai Ashkenaz, the way that Rosh Hashanah falls out this year, you get a whole week prior to Rosh Hashanah, opportunity to really talk it out with Hashem a lot of vidui, a lot of diburim, a lot of words. Kechu yimachem devarim, v'shuv el Hashem. A lot of diburim, a lot to say to Hashem. And yes, says the Chafetz Chaim, but if you're just going to talk it out, but you're not sincere about changing, then Hashem's not going to fall for it. That's what this pasuk is telling us. It's a scary pasuk. It's in the you know, Parakha Vav, Vayikrat. This is Tochacha territory. Ki vidoi below tshuva. The pasuk teaches us, he says, three lines from the end. Kan malamadnu akasu. Ki vidoi below tshuva. V'charata. V'kabala al haba. You can say all the right things. And that's a critical component of tshuva. Again, the Rambam, when he starts to describe tshuva, he's talking in terms of vidui. That's the language of tshuva. And the language of tshuva is a critical component. Having that uncomfortable conversation with Hashem is a critical component of tshuva. But if you're not going to really regret what you did, and you're not really serious about changing in the future, ain't no club. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then I'm still going to be casual with you. Because you think you can just be casual in your repentance. That it's enough to just say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And that's important. That's a critical component of tshuva. But it has to be within the framework of all the components of tshuva. We're too focused sometimes. It's an important yisod, the Chafetz Chaim saying here. That we were ma'al, ma'al ba'Hashem, right? That we were. That Hashem, you gave me eyes and I didn't look at the right things. You gave me the tongue and I didn't say the right things. And you gave me legs to get out of bed in the morning and I came late to shul. So I was mi'ila. It was a misuse of the holy vessels that you gave me. And I'm sorry for that. So Hashem says, that's nice. But what's the game plan? You still have eyes and you still have ears and you still have legs. What's the game plan here to not do that again? Right? Do you really feel bad about it? Or do you just want to say you're sorry because you're scared you're going to get punished and you're trying to extend your lease on life? So, says the Chafetz Chaim, unfortunately what happens is, you think it's enough to just say I'm sorry, right? And then 2 seconds later you run off and you go do the same thing again. So Hashem says, well, what is that? I can see that there's still a casualness in the whole approach. And that's what this pasuk is telling us. It's possible for a Jew to be saying the right things, and again, by definition, we're all going to be saying the right things. But there has to be, Hashem, I'm not going to be casual with you anymore. I'm not going to, you know, make everything else ikker and you become the tuffel in my life. And therefore the pasuk tells us there is such reality. If you don't max out on all the components of tshuva, if the charatza is not deep, and the kabbalah ala haba is not sincere, then Hashem says, Dibarnu dofi. Dibarnu dofi. You'll be clapping al chayt your whole life. Dibarnu dofi. Dibarnu dofi. The Mosei Shabbos, we're going to come to Slichos, like we said. Look in the Maaseh LeMelech. Look in the footnotes in Os Hay. Look in the footnote Hay. Powerful line. Upam b'yamei atshuva, kesha'amu Slichos v'yeshiva. Chafetz Chaim, right, of course, in the yeshiva and rabbin. So one time was in the middle of saying Slichos. All of a sudden, just picture the scene. Hishtik pisom et asiv. Chafetz Chaim, imagine. You know, everyone's in the throes of tshuva, and everyone's, you know, everyone's calling out. Right, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachav, all of a sudden... Shah. Oh, Chavetz Chaim standing on bima, middle of slichos. Va'amar, Chavetz Chaim said to the tzibur, Ma mo'ila amiras haslichos l'saper l'kadosh baruch hu shechatanu lo. As if it's a chiddush. You know, Hashem, by the way, let's talk about what we did. Hashem says, as if I don't know what you did. As if I haven't been keeping track. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Zohar Kol HaNishkachos, remembers everything. Hashem, like, missed a couple stops along the year. So you have to remind him what you did. Hashem, I did this, I did that. Hashem, I know what you did. Says the Chafetz Chaim, what does it help that we're saying, Hashem, I did this, I did that. Halo lefanov golev yaduazos. Chafetz Chaim says, if we think Slichos is kind of just reminding Hashem of all the things that we did, Hashem doesn't need a reminder. Hashem knows exactly what we did. Ha'ikir hu lakabal al atzmeinu shalo nashuv l'chisla. The ikir is to remind ourselves. The ikir is to say, you know what? If I talk about these things enough, whoa, maybe I'll be embarrassed of the fact that I have to confess these things, and I actually did these things, and then maybe I'll change. So it's very important when we come to slichos, not to feel like, Hashem, I'm confessing before you. You're really confessing before yourself. You're really trying to get real with yourself. That's what he's saying here. That if the vidui is just going to be a vidui and a superficial, you know, conversation that you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the change isn't real, the charat is not real, the kabbalah is not real, Chavetz Chaim came and he climbed on the beam and he said, we don't need to remind Hashem what we did wrong. The va'oras ha'am l'tshuva. The ikar is to remind ourselves, and this really woke people up. And Chavetz Chaim got up on the beam and said this. People always say, you know, we're saying slichos. We're saying slichos. Right? So first of all, we're not saying slichos. At this fine point, that we're asking slichos. We're saying slichos. We're asking. We're saying, please, be Hashem, forgive us. Right? And what we're really asking is that Hashem should say slichos. Hashem should be saying, right? Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. That Hashem should be the one to pardon us. We're requesting. It's not just enough to rattle off these things. We're making a request. And the way to make a sincere request is to be real about it. Is to be real with ourselves. And not to pretend that, Hashem, I just have to, you know, I have to mention a couple of things that I did and I know you're going to take care of it. I have to make a Kabbalah, a sincere Kabbalah. Hashem knows very well what you did. Hashem wants to see in the way that you're expressing yourself. Does your language, does your body language express a person who really cares about what he did? Or is just, you know, flipping pages of the Machzor and a Vayter and another page and another page and another page. Okay. So how do we do real cleansing? How do we do real cleansing? We want to be real. Chavetz Chaim says you got to be real if you want Hashem to be makabel. It's possible. He's vadu as avonam. And yet Hashem says, I can see your whole, everything about you is still casual. You're not sincere. You're not for real. So how do we change? How do we change ourselves? And how do we cleanse ourselves deeply? Because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for deep cleansing, not superficial cleansing. So we have to know about the halachos of Hechsher Keh. Okay, turn to page 2. Chavetz Chaim on the Torah Parshas Matos. Now again, I said tonight, a lot of these Divrei Torah you find in Sefer Chassidus as well. You find a very, very similar thing in the writings of the Kadosh Tzur Magid in the Avodas Yisrael by Shabbos HaGadol here. It's a very similar Nekuda to the Chavetz Chaim here. And other Svarim develop it as well. Pasuk says in Matos, we learn about Hechsher Kelim. By Yomer Elazar HaKohen, by the arrow. El Anche Yetzavah HaBal Nemuchama. Zos Chukas HaTorah. Here's how you cast your Kelim. When the Jews go to battle, and we defeat our enemies, we have spoils of war. Some nice things. You have golden vessels, you have silver vessels, right? You have copper and tin. How do you kasher it? How do you purify it? Achas azav, es hakesef, says the pasuk, says the Chavetz Chaim. Din hechsher kelim befurish. The rules of kashering kelim is very clear. Shemitchila tzrichim lenakos asakli, l'shafshefo, l'hasir asachaluda. The first thing you need to do, right? If it still has food substances in it, if it has some rust on the surface, right? You have to get rid of all external substances that are clinging to the surface. That's the first step. To scrub it clean. To get it back to just being a kli, because the kli has so many things that are attached to it at this point. Rav Moshe Wolfson, I remember, I heard a shir many, many years ago, and I quote this all the time because it's an important nekuda to understand. When a Jew strays from Hashem, what do we call a person who strayed far from Hashem? What do we call him? Koman apikoris. It's one expression that we use. Okay, it's a Greek word, written in a Greek word. What else do we call it?
Off the derech.
Okay? A kofer. Right? Person's off the derech. He strayed from the derech of Hashem. We call him a kofer. What does it mean kofer? What does kofer mean? What does it mean? He's kofer be'ika. Right? Kofer means someone who denies. Where's the first place in the Torah we have that shorash? Chaf peirish. Parshas Noach. In what context? At the teva. What does it say about the teva? V'chafarta osa mibayis umichutz ba'kofer. The teva was covered in kofer. What was that mean? It was covered in heresy. It's covered in secular books. What was it covered in? What was it covered in? What's kofer? Right? What does it mean? It's covered in plaster. So what's the connection between the two? I heard many years ago from the Mashkiach, Moshe Wolfson, Shlita, should be well. Mashkiach in Torah Vadas, Rav Munas Yisrael, author of Sefer Munas Yitech. Rav Wolfson said, why do we call a person who's rebelled against the Kodesh Baruch Hu kofer? What's he covering? Right? He's that kli that the Chafetz Chaim is describing here that has all sorts of extraneous things attached to it, stuck to it. It's foreign substances that are clinging to it. Be'etzem, a Jew loves the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Be'etzem, a Jew loves Torah. Be'etzem, a Jew loves his fellow Jews. So how is it that sometimes we're not in the mood to learn? And we don't feel connected to Hashem? And we don't feel connected to our fellow Jews? How did we get so, mububal on the inside? It's because we have an inherent, a natural state of mind. This is what the Sfas Emes rather writes in Parshas Va'eschanan to explain the mitzvah of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can it be a command to love Hashem? Hashem, you want to command me to shake a lulav, so I pick up a lulav and I'll shake it. You want to command me to strap tefillin to my arm, whether I like it or whether I don't like it, I can do it. You want me to eat this or not eat this, no problem. How do you command an emotion? Rishonim asked this question. How does Hashem command us to love Him? He can command me to serve you. He can't command me to feel. So you know what the Sfas Emes writes? The Parshas Va'eschanan? He says the answer is the question. You do love Hashem. He could only ask that of you if he knows full well that it's entirely realistic and reasonable to ask that of you. So why do I not feel it sometimes? Why do I get into a state where Hashem, I don't feel like I love you? Why do I feel like he's asking something external to me? Because I've become a kofer. Not in the way that we use the term, a complete denier of God. But I've covered it. I've buried that nekuda of Ava towards Hashem and His Torah and His people in a deep place. And I need to dig it out now. I need to extract it. I need to remove the rust. There's a beautiful sefer called the Marbe Chaim. I've been reading it with Avram Chaim Brim. This is a gadol in Yerushalayim. Very close Talmud of the Chazanish, who was connected to the Rebbe of Boyan and many other tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael. He has a sefer, Marbe Chaim. Passed away probably 15 years ago or so. He put out some of his writings on Moadim called Marbe Chaim. So in there he brings a mashal in two places, from Ableib Chasman. He says, imagine a person comes to the palace, right? That's what tshuva is. You're coming back to Hashem's palace. Yeah? You get to the palace and you want to walk in. The door's locked. Right? So you start peeking through the keyhole. You want to see what's going on inside. And whoa, you look inside. It's gavaldik. What a party. What a good time. And all of a sudden you have this longing, this tremendous chesed. I want to be by that party. I want to be a part of what's happening on the inside. Right? And you're trying to figure out how am I going to get it. You say, wait a minute. I have the key to this. The master, the Baal HaBos, gave me the key once upon a time. And you start fishing in your pocket and you find the key, but the key's all rusty. And you try to stick it in the door. It doesn't go. So the first thing you need to do, right, you have the key. You just have to clean off the rust. This is the mashal, I think, Rabbi Leib Chasman, the Mashkiach, used to give. That's what Avram Chaim Brim brings, Bishmo. So that's what the Chafetz Chaim is saying here. The first step to tshuva, the first step to being to hechsher kalim of ourselves, right? The various kalim of our body, the first thing you need to do is scrape it down. To remove all the rust, remove all the foreign substances. Kodem shiagilenu, before you come to Hagala, before you dip the kli into the hot water and put it through fire. V'darsh v'zem milashon ach. We learn this here in Parshas Matos from the Pasuk. It says, ach es hazav es hakasef. There can't be anything, right? Ach. Yes, ach means what? Ach is mamai. It comes to minimize, to focus, to. Well, I can't speak English tonight. It's a mute, right? It's a limitation. Ach, to get it down to the point that it's ach, it's only what? The metals that are defined in the pasuk. That's what Rashi says. Ach es hazav. Make sure it's first, get it down to just gold. If you found this clay, you've defeated this non-Jewish army. And you find these dirty pots. The first thing you need to do is clean the pots. Make sure there's no bacon clinging to the surface. After that, then we can go through the Hagala process, the koshering process. But first, make sure you just get it back to looking like a clean. Now again, that's still only a superficial cleansing. So says the Chafetz Chaim, that's like the vidur that we learned about in Parshas B'chukosa. So how do I do deep cleansing? How do I get into the kishkas? Achar kach suichem lahachshar sakelim kederach tashmisham. Says the Torah, depending on how the kli was used, that's how you kasher. And this is a chashuv yesod in tshuva, and it's something you find in many, many svarim. Redirect your kochos. It's a mefurish gemara Masechet Shabbos. If you're born under the mazel of ma'adim, if you have a netiya towards bloody things, so what are you going to do with that? You like violent stuff. So you could become a highway robber and ambush people on the roads and beat them up and steal their wallets. You can become a thug, a murderer. You can become a shochet. That's already getting closer to a mitzvah. You can become a moel. You can become a doctor. Either way, you have a netiya towards blood, right? But am I going to do it in a way that heals the world? In a way that helps people? That's a performance of a mitzvah? Or am I going to be a thug and a murderer? And a bully? Says the Chafetz Chaim, the way to kasher the kli is to redirect its koach. If you use this kli, we're talking in halacha, right? If the kli was used over fire, how do you cleanse it? To put it through fire. If it was in hot water, so how do you kasher it? Throw it into a boiling hot pot of water. What this is saying is redirect those energies. If you're a type of person, the people have different types of yitzharas. Some people have a netiyah towards cold, some people have a netiyah towards hot. And the svarim say, depending on your netiyah, you should learn different svarim. A person who's more cold by nature, there's certain svarim for him. A person who's more hot by nature should learn different svarim. I'm trying to remember, I saw what the Chazon Ish said. If you have a netiyah this way, you have a netiyah that way. Right, what do you mean a netiyah towards hot or cold? Right? Hot is a person who's always passionate. And sometimes that means he gives into to passionate taivas. Sometimes a person's yitzhar is cold. He's a very lazy person by nature. Right? He's always lounging around. He's not being productive with his life. So a person who's hot, a person who gets fired up, right, to do averos, but he can take that passion into the Beis Medrash. He can take that passion into Avodas Hashem. A person who's cold can use some of that coldness, some of that chilled, you know, nature, right? That when the Yitzhahara tries to heat him up, he can keep his cool. So it's a question of just redirecting the kochos. Says the Chavetz Chaim where it's underlined. The way to cleanse ourselves, the way to heal ourselves, is in the same way. First, you need to scrape the pot or remove the rust to make sure that the key can once again fit into the palace door, to be able to enter into the palace gates. Right? To superficially, the things that are external to the kli itself. That in the tshuva process represents the future of this kli, it represents the past of this kli. To cleanse it the same way that the sin came about. If the sin was with fire, if you did a passionate avera, you need to do passionate mitzvos to strike back. It's not fair to do averos with passion. And then to do, you know, it's not fair. Hashem says, don't tell me you don't have the energy for slichos. You have plenty of energy to run after that taiva, right? Don't tell me you can't be creative in learning. You're pretty creative to find a way to do that avera. He says, top of the left column. Boats are echlatakin. In the thing that you stumble, that's how you fix. If nichshol b'lashon hara, if you use your tongue in the wrong way, so use your tongue in the right way. Yasir b'torah. Right, Kama Barim Zal, like it says in Rabbi Yonah, Hatzadikim bo sadar shachotin bo misratzin. You appease Hashem with the same kalim, with the same tools that you sinned with. V'masisa chavilo shel averos. He did mounds and mounds of averos. Well, guess what? Also connected chavilo shel mitzvos. So do piles and piles of mitzvos. I always think that the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah is such a chizuk. My own thought, but I really think it's an Avestika thought. The Gemara in the fifth paragraph of Sukkah says, "Kol gadol mechaveru yitzro gadol heimenu." The bigger you are, the bigger your yitzhar is. So you know how we read that Gemara? We read that Gemara and we laugh. How do we read that Gemara? We say, "Hold on a second! You're telling me that Moshe Feinstein has a bigger yitzhar than me?" So the Gemara is just not true. You can cross that line out, basically. And Sukkah and Beis, just like scratch it out. It's just not true. There's no way that Moshe Feinstein has the same taivas that I have. It doesn't make sense. Rav Schechter, right? It's just not true. Simply not true. But there's an amazing way to turn that Gemara inside out and to mechazik yourself in a tremendous way. What does the Gemara say? So flip it around. Say, you know what? I know I have a massive Yetzirah. So I guess I'm a master of Gadol. I must be like the Gadol Hador. If I have such a big Yetzirah, that must mean I have tremendous potential. Because that's what the Gemara says. Call a gadol mechaveru yitzhar gadol. So, okay, I don't think I'm such a gadol, but the yitzhar, I do know that I have big. By the Zohar, I've seen that I can be mamish, a big person.
What's
Sukkah Daf Nun Beis, I believe. Called a gadol nichaver yitzur gadol himen. Right? That was the last shot from Michal Zlotchmer. He said, no, the whole thing is in the Mayim Rabbim from Yechiel Michal of Zlotchmer, the Maggid of Zlotchmer. He said, no, call anyone who thinks he's gadol nichaver, if you're a Baal Gai, but you think you're gadol, that's a sign you must have a big yitzara. Because right, a real gadol has humility. So that's not Pashup Shah. The Pashup Shah in the Gemara is a real gadol has a huge yitzar hara. So, okay, I guess I'm the gadol ador. I have such a big yitzar, I must be the gadol ador. Yeah? But that's what it says here. If you were able to do mounds and mounds, chavilos shel averos, so who said, so chavilos shel averos, piles of averos I can make for you, Hashem, but piles of mitzvos I can't? It's not true. The ikshar hechshar adam hu yedei Torah. It says the Chafetz Chaim, of course, the deepest cleansing of all comes through the study of Torah, the elixir of all, the fixer of everything, the ultimate medicine, right? The Sam HaChaim, Kihi Machsharaso Mitaraso, because that is, in fact, the greatest way to cleanse us. So we see there's a lot of heavy lifting, there's a lot of scrubbing to do. Right? We've got to put ourselves through fire, we've got to work hard, right? we've got to cleanse deeply, we've got to jump into those boiling pots of water in order to cleanse ourselves. And again, it's a very daunting task. So I want, for the remainder of this year, to show you a few beautiful insights from the Chafetz Chaim, where the Chazik, a Jew, that tshuva is always within reach. Yes, it's very hard. Once the key is rusty, it's very hard to get that key back to a point where it'll fit into that keyhole. But it's entirely possible, and the Chafetz Chaim wants us, even when the odds seem to be against us, and even if it's mefurish against us, to fight our way back. Let's turn to page 5. I know that's out of order, and we're not up to page 5, but let's turn to page 5 for a minute. Parshas Vayeschi. Hashem is going to scatter you, and then you're going to seek out a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When will you find Hashem? When you search for Hashem with all your heart and all your soul, then you'll find Hashem. When you go through a lot of difficult things, umitzaucha vegomer, doesn't even say, and you'll be found by what? By all sorts of hardship. It's going to get really bad. And then finally says the pasuk in Vayeschi, v'shavta v'gomer v'shamata v'kol, you'll come back to Hashem wholeheartedly and you'll really listen to Him. Says the Chafetz Chaim. Ha'parsha hazos meramezes al zman ha'geula. Achris hayamim. Right? The Torah is describing your tekufa that's yet to come, or is happening, maybe is a better way to say it. K'di'isa mezes rabba devar. Parsha zu hera Moshe liyisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, in sharing this parsha with Klal Yisrael, taught them, imchatu, Heichein asidin ligalos, veheichein osin tshuva, veheichein negalin. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, if you mess up, here's how galus is going to go. This is a beautiful synopsis of all Jewish history. Right? You're going to be scattered amongst the nations, and then you're going to start to have a desire, and then Hashem's going to challenge you by making it even harder for you, and then you're going to really come back to Hashem b'achris yom, and you're really going to listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The whole process here. Says the Medrash, in the fifth line, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Kishenigalim Mitzrayim Mitoch Chamisha Dvarim Nigalim. We got out of Mitzrayim, there were five things, and those five things are going to repeat themselves in our time. And it's happening in our time. What are the five things? Mitoch Tzara. We left Mitzrayim because of our suffering. V'yanachu b'nei Yisrael. They cried out to Hashem from the pain. Mitoch Tshuva. V'tal Shav Asam. Mitoch Rachamim. It was an element of mercy. Mitoch Haketz. The time had come. Time was up. Yeah? Now those are only four things, because there's a typo here. There's really a fifth thing. Mitoch Schusamos. Okay, so too says the Medrash, Aflas in Lavo, Mitoch Sara, Mitoch Tshuva, Mitoch Rachim, Mitoch Schusamos, Mitoch HaKetz. Adka. Okay, end of the first paragraph. Ubir HaMayim Ruhu, says the Chafetz Chaim. What does this mean? Dechol Shal Chamisha Dvar Malalu, Yisayeu LaGula. Each of these things helps. Tshuva helps. Pain, suffering, Yisurim, help. Rachamim, arousing Hashem's mercy, helps. Zuchos Avos, helps. All of these things help. The clock winding down, Mitoch HaKetz, time just ticking, also helps. So says the Chafetz Chaim, all these things help to advance Geula. V'akavanahi, di'ilo hayinu chozrim b'tshuva shlema. However, if we would just do tshuva shlema, if we would go right away to do what we're supposed to do, as hi ba'atzma hayisim ivia Geula, av shalom izman. Tshuva, of the five things on the list though, tshuva is really the one that can change everything in a second. If the Jewish people do real tshuva, We wouldn't have to wait for the clock to tick down. We wouldn't have to suffer X amount of Yisurim. We wouldn't have to rely on Zuchas Avos. We ourselves have the ability, with our real tshuva, to change everything. Hayom im bekolo tishmo. Today Hashem says, if you listen to my voice, I'm ready to overturn everything. But if you don't have tshuva shleima, so then you need a little of this and a little of that, and hopefully the pieces can add up. Says the Chafetz Chaim, a very powerful thing. Look what he writes to us. The question that bothers all of us when it comes to tshuva, when it comes to geula, he says in the last paragraph on page 5. Okay. It should not be shocking or surprising to you. Who are we to bring the geula? What's the very simple svara? Halolo achshar dari. It doesn't make any sense. You read us a doros. Adrab. Midoros hakodmin. Hainu omdim amatzav yosar karav lavodas Hashem. You read us a doros dictates that we are worse Jews than the earlier generations. So you plug in a very simple equation. So how do worse Jews do better tshuva? How do worse Jews do better service of Hashem? Bring the geula? It just doesn't make sense. Aval ha'emes hi sheka yom niskaimu banu kol ha'yudim ha'amur b'mesech ha'sanajin u'besof mesech ha'sota al-zman ha'geula. Says the Chafetz Chaim, anyone with eyes to see knows, like we spoke last week, all the suffering, all the craziness of the world, it's all straight out of the Mishnah at the end of Sota. It's all straight out of the Gemara's in Mesech ha'sanajin. They refer to the time of redemption. V'gam ha'pizur v'atiltol b'ksoy sa'ares. Galdamod, or Kitzvah Sa'aris, is Galdamod, right? The wandering of the Jewish people, the scattering of ourselves in Guf and Neshama is so massive, right? Niskayim Banu, it's all happening. And therefore, we're ready for what? Like the Pasuk says. If you're scattered around the world, Hashem says, I'll gather you in. We're ready for that. Imkain, look what he writes here. This is the key line. Nuchal Nekavos, therefore we can very realistically hope that what? Ki eskabtu kol advar miyachid. That all of these things, all of these pieces that seem to be coming together in a very clear way are in place, and therefore look what he writes. Look at these next words. Uvehis oris tshuva mu'etes nucha lekavos ki yikar v'shem legula. The advantage of our position in Jewish history is what? Is that all these other things have piled up already. Which means we really just need to do, in the language of Malachos of Shabbos, we need to just do Makom HaPatish. We need to kind of just put the final hammer's blow into place. It's all there. We don't have to do tshuva shleima. Shem Yishmuel is a similar yisod. Tshuva shleima doesn't mean we have to do a complete tshuva from scratch, from beginning to end. It means we have to be the ones to be mashlim to complete everything that's in place. So says the Chafetz Chaim, with his oris tshuva mu'etes, we can actually tip the scales. Ki atzaros hegiu l'mal rosh, because the tzaros have certainly piled up. V'agolos nis'archa, as far as the time, as far as the clock ticking, we've done that. We've been there, done that. Achenuchal lomar b'pshita, we could say that all of the things are in place. And therefore, all it depends on is us doing that final little bit. Three lines from the end. V'im kein, atavavadei achiv alein l'is'or l'tshuva. So says the Chafetz Chaim, what a beautiful way to turn tshuva shleima, which is this massive, monster that we're trying to, it's like this overwhelming creation that we have to put together. And who am I to do tshuva shleima? He says, no. Klai Yisrael, the suffering is there. And the ticking of the clock towards the end of time is in place. Right? And Zechus Avos has all Zechusim are, everything's in place. The Rachamim that Hashem wants to show us is in place. Hayom b'kol tishma. All you need to do is push it over the edge with that last bit of tshuva. V'kiyam banu avtachas haTorah b'parshas Nitzavim, and then we'll be zochet to see the promise in the Nitzavim. V'shavta Hashem lokecha v'shamat b'kolo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and I'll bring it back. The Chafetz Chaim says, we can mamash do it. I know it sounds like a paradox. It seems a little strange. The lowest Jews can somehow do tshuva shleima, but again, tshuva shleima doesn't mean tshuva shleima. Tshuva shleima means that all of the five steps towards geula are in place, and tshuva is the one that has the koach to tip the scales. In Parshas Va'era on page 3, the Chafetz Chaim talks about Paro's inability to change. We know, of course, the Kadosh Baruch Hu hardened Paro's heart, made it impossible, seemingly impossible for Paro to change, and yet, as many Sefer Hasidus tell us, B'nai Sosa writes this, the Shulah Kadosh writes this, many Sfarim write, that Paro could have changed. That even though Hashem hardened Paro's heart, it was possible for Paro to change. And therefore, even though we're living in a time of Hester Panim, and we've hardened our own hearts by refusing to do tshuva until this point, it's possible for us to break through those barriers. And he writes so powerfully, Parshas Ve'era. V'rabu ha'sholem, ani ekshas leiv paro. Hashem says, I'll harden Paro's heart. I gave you five chances, you turned me down, now the next five makos, I'm hardening your heart. So everyone asks, Eich zen ninalu b'fnei paro dalsos ha'tshuva, how can Hashem lock the gates of tshuva? Halo v'derech klal shari tshuva, einem ninalu b'fil l'choteos ha'gadol. I thought Hashem leaves the gates open for anyone who wants to do tshuva. Even a paro. Says the Chofetz Chaim, you know what it means when Hashem locks your heart? You know what it means when we experience Hester Panim, we feel locked out? You know what that is? You know what that means? Sometimes when a Jew does an Aveira, Hashem reaches out to you. Right? We're going to say that many times over the course of the Yom Nara. That your hand is outstretched to bring back those who want to come back. That's great. Sometimes Hashem is trying to pull you in. He's reaching out for you. He wants to grab you. Chofetz Chaim actually has a mashal. He says, imagine a person who's on a train. Right? And he says to his friend, come, we should get on this train. It's very good. It'll take us to a good place. The guy says, nah, we still have some time. No, really, we really need to get on the train. The train's going to leave soon. And he's waiting. Nah, we have more time. We have more time. The guy's on the train. The doors are still open. He said, come. We really have to get on the train already. Right? And finally, the train starts to move. And the guy still says, nah, there's still time. It's going to take some time for the train to pick up speed. Right? And as the train's pulling away, imagine this friend is reaching out through the window saying, just grab my hand. I'll pull you in. It's still not too late. Rabbi Slime says, that's Yemincha Pshuta L'Kabel Shavim. That till the last second of the Ela, Hashem, as the train's pulling out of the station, Rabbi Slime gave a mashal, said Hashem is still reaching out to yank you in. Right? So Hashem wants to pull you in. But sometimes a Jew does Averos to the point that Hashem says, I'm not pulling you, I'm not reaching out to you. That doesn't mean you can't do Tshuva. It just means I'm not reaching out to you. It's up to you to decide on your own that I care enough to fight my way back in. I'm going to break down the train door. I'm going to kick open the door to get back in. And therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, the paragraph that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar LeMoshe, Lech Vodia LeParo, that based on his behavior, based on his rishus, that Midashamayim Lo Yazru Lo Lach Shabbat Shur. They're not going to help him anymore. The hardening of Paro's heart means I'm not going to reach out. I sent Moshe to warn you. I sent plagues to wake you up. At this point, Hashem says, that's it. You're on your own, Paro. Right? Libo achshav kaved. Your heart is now hard. Ki min hashamayim lo yisayu biyada. I'm not reaching out to you. Aval lo nilkecha mimenu habechira lachzor beatzav b'tshuva. But Paro, if you get it on your own, of course you can fight your way. Even a Paro could have fought his way back in. Who do the Sifrei Chassidus talk about in this regard? As someone who got kicked out, I was told don't come back. And yet all the Svarim Pinyus say, no, he could have fought his way back in. Acher. Elisha ben Avuya. The Gemara Maseches Chagiga tells the story of Elisha ben Avuya. Abbas Kol came out of Shemayim. Right? And said to Acher, get the hell out of my face, right? Don't come back. And it's like, whoa, the Rebbe Shalom spoke to me that way. Right? That, I'm sorry to make it a little jarring, but if I don't make it jarring, your heart's not going to jump for a second like Acher's heart jumped. When Acher was told, don't come back. A voice came, Hashem said, I'm done with you. So what, Acher's supposed to show up again? He's supposed to come back? And he didn't come back. And he went very, very far away. He became known as Acher. He went that afternoon and found an Isha Zona. Right? It was a very painful thing to hear a baskel that says, Shuvu Baram Shobavim. Everyone, Hashem says, come my children, my wayward children, I don't care how bad you've been. Come back. He's pulling everyone back in. Chutz mi Acher. You can't come back. Can't come back. Imagine. Of course, he gave up on himself. But says the Chofetz Chaim, as all the Sifrei Chassidus say, even Acher could have come back. Paro could have come back. So of course we can come back. Zohaisa Tausa Shalisha Ben Avuya. What was the mistake of Elisha Ben Avuya? Kishishama Baskol Shuvu Banim Shobavim Chutz Mei Acher. When Hashem Himself said, Acher, get lost. So he thought to himself, Lo Olam Lo Tiskabel Shuvaso. But Acher didn't realize Kolo Nishlala Mimenu Abechira Lis Or Beatzmo the Tshuva. Of course he could do Tshuva on his own. Rakodil Men Hashemayim Shlo Yazru. All Hashem is saying is, I can't reach out to you anymore because of the choices that you made. You're a kofer. You've piled stuff a deep. You piled piles and piles of averas on your heart to the point that Hashem says, I can't dig yourself. But you could dig yourself out. You could dig yourself out. A Jew has to realize he should never ever give up on himself, says the Chofetz Chaim. Even if his heart is hard, and even if the Hester upon him is great, it's possible for a Jew to fight his way back in. Turn to page 4. Look what the Chofetz Chaim writes in the footnote, in the Maaseh LeMelech, in Parshas Bereishis. He's explaining a plus in Koheles. It's unbelievable. It's just a question, how much do you want to fight? How much do you care to fight your way back in? Any one of us is shayach to Tshuva Shleima. Certainly according to the way we saw in the piece in Ves Chanan, Tshuva Shleima, just be mashlim, just put that last piece into place. Yeah? But even if everything's falling apart, Hashem says, the nature is, the only way I can let you back in is if you care enough. But we care enough, we can get back in. We can break down any wall, we can break down any barrier. Chavetz Chaim explained the pasuk in Koheles, the footnote Taz Zayin. V'chein hayim mefarish sakasu b'koheles perek yud pasuk dalet. Im ruach ha-moshel tala alecha. This is such a nice word. Look what he writes here. Im ruach ha-moshel tala alecha. It's pasuk in Koheles. Right? Im ruach ha-moshel, the moshel, the one who rules over you. If the ruach, ruach doesn't just mean the spirit, the anger, right? If you've been beaten, if the moshel has ruled over you with a fiery spirit, tala alecha, he's overpowered you entirely. Mekomcha al tanach. Don't abandon your place. Don't abandon your place. He doesn't say it, but obviously we could throw in. Makom, of course, is a code name for a Kadosh Baruch. I'll tell you a sweet part. I haven't shared many real Muslim this year. I gotta get some gematrias going. The Rishonim already bring this gematria. Why is Hashem called Makom? Right? So the Medrash says, L'havdil Hashem is like American Express. It's everywhere you want to be, right? What's the slogan? MasterCard, American Express, one of them. It's everywhere you want to be, right? Makom, Hashem is the Makomo Shel Olam. Hashem is everywhere. Right? Yeah? Uncle Maishi, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Yeah? Hashem is Makom, He's everywhere. But the Rishonim bring a beautiful remnant. Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke, if understood deeply, expresses the name Makom. The Sfarim say, it's already found in Rishonim. Rishonim were Osek and Ramazim and Gematrias. They say, if you take Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke, Yud times Yud, 10 times 10 is 100. Hey times Hey, 5 times 5, 25. Vav times Vav, 36. Hey times Hey, another 25. So what do we have? 100 plus 25 plus 36 plus 25 is 186. Gematria Makom. Gematria Makom. So that's how, if you expand the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, if you understand the fullness of what Yudke Vavke, Hashem's Midas HaChesed, is offering us, you understand that Hashem can be found in any place. So now you find yourself, says Koheles, in a battle against the Moshe, against the Yitzhara, and he won the battle. You got knocked down, he's laughing at you. Makom Cha'al Tanach. Not only don't abandon Makom, your connection to Hashem, who's called Makom, don't abandon your place. Don't abandon your place, you just got knocked down, you lost. HaMoshel Hu HaYitzhar, says the Chavetz Chaim. Shemoshel Olav Al Adam. If he's trapped you in his snares to get you to sin, don't abandon your place. Keep fighting. Why? I lost the battle. It's not true. As long as you keep fighting, Hashem will help you. Because Chazal says Shabbos Kuf Dalet, anyone who comes to help himself, Hashem helps him. Says the pasuk. Look at the end of the pasuk. Ki marpe yaniach chatam gedolim. Because a person who's marpe, a person who defends himself, right? A person who shows, yeah, you knocked me down, but I'm not miyayish. I haven't given up on myself. Yeah, I'm hurting, and you can see that I'm hurting. But there's still a fire in my eyes. Chavetz Chaim gives a mashal. Kamo ish chayal. Imagine a soldier. A soldier who's in the battle. Ha'omid ba'ma'arachos ha'mochami. He's in, again, he's in the heat of the battle. And the enemy fires an arrow, and it strikes him in his hand, it hits him in his finger. Vizchol shows his dumb. Right? And it's bad. It's a bad, it's a deep wound, and he pulls the arrow out of his finger and it's gushing blood in his hand. Yeah? Chalila lo lahashlecha keshes miyadam. So because his hand is injured, so what? Now he's gonna put down whatever other weaponry he's holding, he's gonna drop his shield. Right? Then he's opening himself up. You might as well, you pierce me with as many arrows as you want. So okay, you got my hand. My hand's bleeding. And it's hard to hold on to my shield, and it's hard to continue to clutch my bow and arrow. Right? But if I put down my bow and arrow, if I put down my shield, if I drop my spear, if I drop my sword, then I'm basically saying, I'm fair game. By showing that I'm still holding my place, Mekom Chal Tanach, I'm saying to the Yitzhara, yeah, you won you got the first punch, but I'm not surrendering. So if one hand is injured, so keep shooting with your other hand. Kim lo yasakein, because if you don't fight back, if you show that you've given up, halo asone lo yirachim, then the enemy's going to have no rachmanas on you. At least if you show that you still have a little bit of, you know, fight within you, then the enemy's not going to take advantage of you the same way. V'yora lov ad sheyipol shadud lefanav. Kein hu adavar b'chol adam. Im ala biyana yitzer. If the Yitzhar got the better of you to cause you to sin, al tisrap it. El hischaze kenegdo. V'asa tshuva amitis ala avar v'kabala abba shalom lachto. The Chavetz Chaim gives a famous mashal. It's in Shmiras HaLashon. He says, Shmiras HaLashon, very often, someone asked him, you know, it's possible not to talk Lashon Hara all day. So Chavetz Chaim says, yeah, so. So don't talk Lashon Hara some of the day. And he gives the mashal. He said, I heard b'shem gon echad. He doesn't say who it is. Run in Shmiras HaLashon. He also has it in the footnotes here in Parshas Vayeschanan. It's not on the page in front of us. He says, B'shem Gaon Echad. Imagine you're dominating Shmona Esther. Yeah? And all of a sudden you're up to Modim. So he said, well, all the brachos until now, no Kavana. So this Shmona Esther was a bust. So what should you do? What should you do? You still have a few brachos left. You still have a few words of Shmona Esther left. He gives a mashal, a girl standing in the marketplace. This is the mashal that this Gaon Echad, the Chavetz Chaim quotes, brings. A girl standing in the marketplace, she's selling apples. All of a sudden, a thief comes along and sees this girl. I can take advantage of her. She's a little girl. He starts helping himself. He's taking it right out of her basket. And she's standing there and she's crying and she's crying and she's crying. Right? And the thief, she's not fighting back. The thief just keeps helping himself. He's filling up his own personal satchel. And a wise person says to this little girl, if he's grabbing apples, at least you should grab apples. At least take something with you. Right? Okay, he's going to get a lot of it, but at least get something. So what? So you missed the first half of Shmona Esrei. So what do we normally say? We do this all the time. Forget Shmona Esrei. We do it all, with days of our life. Yeah, more. This morning was a bust. So like, let's just call this an off day. Right? This is like a bad day. Might as well take the rest of the day off. And then tomorrow I'll start fresh. That is such a not Jewish idea. So Shachar is bad. So Mincha should be bad. So Ma'ar should be bad. We like streaks. So we like to feel consistent. Okay, so you had a bad Shachar. So you missed Shachar. So therefore what? So this is like a day where I don't have to make the effort to daven mincha with a minion? Well, what's the svara there? The enemy's grabbing apples, you also grab apples. That's what the Chavetz Chaim say here. The Yitzhar is going to get the better of you. That's ain't tzadik baretz shiryasa tova lo yachta. But if you care enough, if you value every little bit of victory, if you value the fight, if you realize that it's within your reach to actually do tshuva, then makom cha'al panach, says Shlomo Melech, says the Chavetz Chaim, hold your place. Keep fighting. Show the Yitzhar that you still have some fight within you. And again, if you really want, and we'll end with one final verse from the Chavetz Chaim on page 6. If you really care, and this is a powerful, it's very simple and a very powerful thing to think about, this last four little lines in the Maaseh Lamelech and Parshas Vayeschanan. If you think about, right, if you really think about what tshuva is worth, then you'll find a way to make it happen. Because we make things happen very often. We find the strength to do a lot of things in life for a lot less reward than tshuva, and the value of tshuva. We are willing to sell our kochos and to find energy within ourselves, right, to do things that we want to do for a lot less payment than what Hashem is offering us in the opportunity of tshuva. Says the Chavetz Chaim in the Maaseh Lamelech in the first paragraph on page 6, the final source. When the Chavetz Chaim spoke about the greatness, I'll go to La Tshuva, Amar Pamach, he said one time, Bo re'ei ad heichan magia hisrash luseinu b'inyan hazeh. Look how lazy we are about Tshuva sometimes. And part of it is because we don't believe that Tshuva actually can happen, can work. We think it's too hard for us, or we don't really believe that we can actually turn around our lives, so we give up. But says the Chavetz Chaim, let me ask you something. Right. How much are you willing to do X, Y, or Z for? If I were to pay you, right? How much would you charge me to find the strength, let's say, to go to Minyan? Let's say I'm in trouble getting up for Minyan in the morning. Yeah? If I offer you $100 to get to Minyan on time today, would you be on time? Let's say you go to Minyan, and you come in every day, you come in 2 minutes late. For $100, you'd find a way to get there on time. So you don't think getting to Minyan on time is worth more than $100? Says the Chavetz Chaim. Kishesochim, look what he says though, but I want to show you in the context of tshuva. Kishesochim eidus lachtom al get. Yeah? A person is trying to orchestrate a get, and you need witnesses. So you pay people for their time. You hire people to serve as witnesses to the get. That's not like bribery, that's a legal thing, right? Basin, people who sit on basin, that it's not a free service, they charge, you can charge, right? So these eidim who are going to sign on the get are being hired. Mashlim l'kol echad chatzi rubel. in the good old days, what do you offer him? How much am I going to pay you? To help me to oversee this get? Half a ruble. Yeah? But now the person, what? Wants to make sure he's a kosher aide. So for a half a ruble, to make sure he's a kosher aide, what's he going to do? He's going to do real tshuva. He knows that afternoon, you know, this get, this is... If he's not a good aide, if this get's not a good get, this woman's going to be married, mamzerim. He's very overwhelmed by that thought. So for the half a ruble you're paying him, this guy's going to have real hirurei tshuva to make sure he's a kosher aide. So for half a ruble, you can become a bal tshuva. For half a ruble, you can become... You can have real hirurei tshuva. But Hashem offers you all of Elul and Rosh Hashanah. It's everything tshuva, Yom Kippur. Right? And like we're schlepping around, we're like deciding when we're going to get into it. For ten bucks, if I said I'll pay you $10 to make a cheshbon nefesh for 1 minute a day, everyone would sign up. We hang up a list in YU. Yeah, join the cheshbon nefesh club. $100 a day for 10 minutes of cheshbon nefesh. We'd have 700 people on that list. So, but on our own, how many of us raise your hand? Have you done 10 minutes of cheshbon nefesh every day at all? Yeah, anyone? Not I. So it says the Chavetz Chaim for half a ruble. You can find the strength in Mahar B'Tshuva Kodim Sheachta. You can come to a state of Tshuva Shleva to make sure you sign the get in the right way. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zanu Mefarnes Hasanu Kol Yemos Hashana. And Hashem pays you every day, with every breath of air that you breathe, and the food, and the clothing, and everything else that Hashem does for you. But V'Einan Hashavim. But that's not enough payment for us to become a true Bali Tshuva. Chavetz Chaim says, if you value Tshuva, if you know what it's worth, even if the enemy gets the better of you once in a while, even if the doors seem locked, and even if it seems like it's too much of a task, we're just a lowly yikus of the Mashiach, who are we to do tshuva? If you know what it's worth, if you know that you can find the strength for half a ruble, you can find the strength for the bigger picture of everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has offered us. Ritz Hashem, we should take the words of the Heilig Chafetz Chaim Tart. Like I said last week, when Rav Pam was old, he told his Talmidim, please, when I pass away, I want you, he wrote in his last will and testament, learn the writings of the Chafetz Chaim. For me, for my neshama, and for you. And Rav Pam said, anyone who's Porish, anyone who separates from the words of the Chafetz Chaim, is like Porish being separated from life itself. These words can mamish save our lives. So, Mirz Hashem, we should be, Bali Tshuva Amitim, we should return to Hashem with all of our heart and all of our soul. Amen.